Father, the world keeps going. It's moving right along. And so do we, Lord God. We move right along too, and we ask you to watch over us in every way. We pray for the unsaved in this world. We pray for our family. We pray for our church family. And we pray for the things that we need. Some we know and some we don't. But there are so many needs around us each and every day. So be with us, Lord. Guide us and direct us and help us with the things that we need. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With thanksgiving. Oh, yes, we do. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the love and the mercy that you give to us also. Now we see events coming around in this world of ours, we see events and things happening. Some of them are a concern to us. Some of them are foretold because we know the events in the Bible. And so we know that there's some trials that are going to happen and just good stuff, amazing, miracles also. Lord, we understand that all these things are going to happen coming our way in the world, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for all the things that we get to see, witness, be a part of, and to be a part of your goodness and being faithful to you, Lord God, each and every day. Lord, be with us. Help us to stay safe and let you be our sanctuary. And let you help us to do the right thing in your eyes, Lord. I was just thinking about Psalm 23 this morning. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Well, look at what's going on in this world. There's a lot of people who are concerned that we are going to have war, invasion, violence, threats in our neighborhood, nuclear bombs falling, all sorts of things. We can choose to be afraid and paralyzed, to do nothing but just feel the fear. But Lord watches over us. He says nothing will happen to us until it's the time, so we can just relax and let things happen. We don't have to be scared by the terrors that go on around us. We do not have to be afraid of the threats from military or government that goes on, because God is in charge, and he will let no evil come to us. Well, unless it's time, and then... You know, it's done and over. And we will live through the things, sometimes the troubles in life, the troubles that either he allows or that we have happened by somehow a bad choice or something. Sometimes these things bring us just plain closer to God. And that has been a part of the reasoning that some people will say there's going to be great tribulation. Why? To bring the unsaved to know Jesus Christ and call upon him to be saved. It's probably true. I could see that very clearly. So that's why there is pain and suffering in the great tribulation. Of course, it won't be as easy as we have it. We just get to call upon the name of the Lord, believe, and I think we also have our lives be transformed into a born-again creature. So it's a little bit more than just believing, but it's not like we work towards it, but we work towards the loving part of it because Jesus loves us, and we get to love him back. So that's my view of it. And what's going to happen in the future? Well, questions, because we don't exactly know. We get some pretty good ideas, and the Bible does tell us that there will be some troubled times, that's for sure. Remember the wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and a lot of things that are just you don't want to see happen. But we know they're going to happen because it's in the Bible. And the Bible always tells us the truth about what is going to happen in the future. So we get to be thankful that we can choose Jesus Christ right now. And I hope that you and the unsaved people are living a Christ-filled life where we demonstrate that we love Jesus by how we live. That is a wonderful way to think of and to live our life so that our sins are forgiven by Jesus. And we have a born-again experience where we live a new life as a new creature in God, Jesus Christ. Well, there are these things that Jesus paid the price as he was scourged. He was nailed to the cross. It was pretty tough to be beaten like that. I know that I don't even know if any of us could stand it and still live. But then again, that's what happened to him. Jesus gave up his life. It says gave up the ghost. And that's the thing. Jesus did it out of love for us so that we would not have to have the full payment for the sins that we have done in life. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We get all those things going on, and our relationship with Jesus is loving. He loves us, and we love him back. How wonderful. But these days, we have some distractions that we get certain ideas about. Are they true or are they not true? Well, we have things called holidays, which is short for holy days, but somehow we don't think of them as holy anymore. You know, we think of them as a time to eat maybe chocolate eggs or maybe a fine meal, and we celebrate the time with our family, which is wonderful, or celebrate the time with somebody else. It is wonderful, and we get to enjoy and appreciate the gifts that we have in this life. But I think it's pretty important to remember what Jesus has done for us and give him thanks and appreciation for what our God has done through us. Through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and amen. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the mercy that you give us, and even for the struggles in life that we have, because the struggles give us understanding and compassion, and we can talk to other people about the things that we have been through, and it turns out to be good for them. As we go through the times of good memories in life with what? With Passover, with Easter, with holidays? Yeah. Oh, and you know what day this is? This is the celebration of Tax Day. Oh, sort of. Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. April 15th. And in 1912, the Titanic sunk on this day. I don't mean I'm laughing about it. It's just a really serious thing that happened when people on the Titanic thought that they were on an unsinkable ocean liner. Why, there is a question of who said this. Some people say it was the captain of the Titanic. Some people say it was somebody who worked in that company. Really, we don't know. But somebody or other said that, God himself could not sink this ship. That's what was said. And you know what? That was not very wise to either say or to think or to anything. But somebody did say it, and it was recorded for history. And, well, the Titanic sunk. And it was a terrible loss of life. So many people died on that. The ship was thought to be so unsinkable that it just had about half the number of lifeboats that would have been required if they had the proper number of lifeboats. And that means that as the ship sunk, only about half the people could be saved. It was a great tragic thing that happened in the ocean when the ship went down. So many lives were lost. There were stories of compassion and heroism and selfishness also. The Titanic was a huge loss of life, and it made an indelible impression on the whole world. Well, we still think about the Titanic and what it means and the loss of life and the destruction that went right along with it. So many things get our attention. Fires and destruction seem to get our attention. And we talk about them. Oh, I talk about them too. You know why? It's because there is always something that we can do to avoid the destruction of a natural event or of a man-caused event. These things can be reduced. And some of the things that we do is to have provisions for just in case there is a dramatic emergency, something that happens. And Lord, we certainly appreciate all the wonders that you give us and the good days. And Lord, thank you for them. Guide us if we need to be thinking about what could happen in a difficult or an emergency situation. Help us to have the preparations that we need to show compassion on the people around us, Lord. I think that's one of the things we do, is we have the compassion for people. We show the love of Jesus inside of us that we have for other people. And there's all sorts of ways to show that compassion. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that we can see your love and learn how to love other people with the same kind of love that you give us. Lord, thank you. So, yeah, tragedies happen. Titanics, they sink. All sorts of things happen. Oh, yeah, April 15th, tax day, traditional tax day. All these things happen. You know, another thing that happened on April 15th was Abraham Lincoln died so many years ago on April 15th. Oh, let me think. There was a thoughts of conspiracy when Abraham Lincoln died, and I don't think I can remember the details perfectly, but my recollection is that there were about 15 people that were charged with the conspiracy to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. And about 5 of those people were actually accused in a judicial sense. And they were investigated to find out the truth of what happened to Abraham Lincoln. Well, history sometimes tells the truth, and sometimes it does not. It's the truth, kind of. And we learn that history and the truth of history can be manipulated so that we can learn a lesson that either is or is not present. And that's one of the things that we learn when we study to show ourselves approved. So what are we to do with that? Well, we realize that man's history is not what God's history is, and we have to use discernment and search out the truth when we want to find out the truth. Now, a part of what we do as we seek out God's true history is we recognize and learn that the Bible is true. The more we study the Bible, the more we see it, and we even have historical facts, and the archaeologists who will say, oh, we found out that the Bible is true. This is the way it happened. We've had 10 or 20 years of that, where archaeology has proven that the Bible is true, even when the Bible doesn't exactly line up with what people's expectations were. But the Bible has proven itself to be true beyond what man's reason would say. So thank you, Lord, for making the Bible be true so that we can learn true historical, biblical history. Oh yes, Lord, thank you. And meanwhile, we can certainly pray to understand the true Bible history. We can pray for salvation. Yeah, for us and our loved ones as we are faithful. And we can pray for the unsaved. Prayer has been such a big thing in my life, bigger than I ever realized. My prayer life has been changed a good deal. I mean, I've always prayed and had in the second half of my life, I have, and believed in prayer. But since my accident, I have found out that prayer has a real effect, because there are things that just don't follow logic that have happened. And so I believe in the healing power of prayer. And that's what I hope that everyone does, is pray for the people who they know and who they love, and the people they don't love, and of course the unsaved all over the world. Lord, we pray for them to have an understanding of who Christ is and a full faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what goes on in the world. We have this and that going on in the world. We thank God for his mercy and his grace, even that he spoke to us and put things in our understanding so that we could be saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We are grateful for all that we enjoy in the spirit, in the mind, in the emotion, in our bodies. Lord, we have great blessings and we give you thanks. Well, we have a heart's desire to practice God's righteousness in our lives. Sure, personally, sure as a business person, sure politically, in every moral way, we pray to understand God's righteousness so that we are able to do it. And that is needed so much. There was I saw a video, I guess it's been 2 weeks ago now, where it talked about the number of Congress people and senators who had been arrested for this or that, or they had done things like written bad checks or had a DUI or drug charges or just all sorts of things. Yeah, it's really not a surprise that our government, even our Congress and senators, reflects who the people are. But it still was a surprise to see that there were a number of charges leveled at that level of our government people. I still don't know that it's true. It looked like it was true, but I couldn't confirm it, so I'm not going to tell you the statistics that it presented. But I could understand it would be substantially correct, because I've heard stories like that in the past. I mean, like 30 years ago, about the congressmen or the senators who had been doing something illegal or been arrested for this or for that. It's an old story. People who are in important positions, they think that they do not have to follow the same laws that all the rest of us do. And of course, if we don't follow the law, something happens that we don't want to have happen. Do you know what it is? I guess I don't, but I know that something happens. We could go be arrested or go to prison or be fined. There's lots of things that can happen. And of course, those are earthly consequences. It's not the same as going to hell because we didn't confess our sin and ask it to be forgiven of God Jesus, or become born again as a born-again believer. There's all sorts of things. The littlest of things can bring us to hell, and we want to reject the things that are godless behavior and become a Christ follower. That's what we want to do. No surprise that people write checks with insufficient funds in their accounts. No surprise that people abuse their spouse or have alcohol or drug abuse. This is just normal human behavior, that people do bad or crazy things, and then they get the consequences, either in this life or the next. And the idea here is we want to be forgiven for the things that we have done that have been against God. So we confess our sin to Jesus, we ask for mercy and grace, and become a born-again creature in God Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for loving us and providing the opportunity. There will be a time, I think, there will be a number of times in your life and mine that we will be able to speak to people about accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just like we have. And somehow it might be good to practice and have just some idea of what the words are that you would say. So you can just say the words to nobody, or say them to a bird outside or an animal, and just get the words spoken, so that when you have an opportunity to speak to a person who needs salvation through Jesus Christ, that you will have done it. I know it's pretty silly to say I said it to a bird or an animal out there, but the point is you get a little bit of practice to say those words, to express the concept of being saved from your sins. So, yeah, go ahead and say it. Say it and use the words so that you have a little bit of practice for when you actually need the words. I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, I've done that before too. I'm not just giving you advice that I don't follow. Yeah, well, anyway, let's just, what's the next thing here? Seems like we always need more understanding and information about the things that are going on. I talked about the legislative branch, Congress, Senate, and how there are people in there that have really broken laws that we would never expect them to have broken. But that goes on all around us. The people we work with, have done things we would not expect. People in our family have done things we would not expect. And somehow, perhaps we will have the chance, a good opportunity, to tell them about Jesus Christ and how he forgives them for our sin. When we accept Jesus and when we repent of our sins. Now, maybe you see it different. Sure. Do what the Bible tells you to do. I think the Bible's pretty clear in it. If you need a little bit of understanding, just ask a pastor. They do pretty good at knowing what to say to a person. And it works even better when you read the Word of God for yourself and you get it understood what it takes to become a born-again Christian. Yes. Well, several months ago, I talked about the things of, it was the things of the world. I talked about how Biden, I guess there were a couple of things I talked about. Right now, I'm really thinking of the emails that came out of Fauci's correspondence between him and several top researchers, which showed that there was deception going on at that level about COVID, about masks, and about vaccination. And that's, I mean, you can read those emails for yourself. The first time they come out, they were so heavily redacted that you would have pages of the emails redacted. That means blacked out, so that you couldn't see what was said. But another lawsuit came along, and we did get to see most of the emails between Fauci and some of the other researchers that were pretty high up. And you could see that there was manipulation going on. Anyway, it was pretty clear to me. And you can look it up. You can ask it, of your smartphone to find out these things. Whoever does it, I don't know, but if you want to know whether you are being misled, yeah, have a look. There was a lot of misleading and bad information going on. You might have seen a couple of months ago, there was a video of Rand Paul, Congressman Rand Paul, where he was questioning the Dr. Anthony Fauci in front of Congress. Boy, Fauci did a really good job. Rand Paul, not as good a job, but it just showed how Fauci has a good mind and good thinking. He was very slippery. He couldn't really be pinned down with the facts that he presented. But it was slippery. And it just showed me that Anthony Fauci was a really smart guy. And he got out of the corner that Congressman Rand Paul wanted to put him into. So we have these things going on, and it's hard to discover what the real truth is. But if you never look, it's for sure you will never see. Oh, there was another video. I know why I'm thinking of this. It's because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was on a video being interviewed. And now he's a man who I think he's got a great intellect, a very thoughtful man. He really had a great presentation. I like him because he is a thinking man and he produces evidence to talk about the vaccine being, if not questionable, then wrong. And, of course, the way he speaks make you wonder if he is vaccine damaged, because he doesn't speak perfectly. But I know I've got vaccine damaged people in my family. And yeah, it was clearly the vaccine. This was 30 years ago, 35 for one. But anyway, the point is I know that people are vaccine damaged, and I wondered about Robert Kennedy Jr. being vaccine damaged. He talked about how there was research done on COVID in the Department of Defense, how they were paying for work to be done at Wuhan with viruses and spike proteins and spike protein receptors, all of this to develop a bioweapon, call it a bioweapon receptor, besides the bioweapon. And that's what he talked about was going on with the development that was going on in Wuhan, and how we had done that work in this country, and then it went into China because they would do it more cheaply. Anyway, there's these things that have been going on in the news, in TV, and you can look it up, the things about why the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, was developed so quickly. Well, I remember hearing that was so quick because the Department of Defense had shared some of their research data with Pfizer, with the developing vaccine companies. So lots to talk about. How do you prove it? How is it correct? It's not that I think we can have real absolute answers, because there are people that want to keep this information hidden. They don't want any independent investigations. And so somehow we have to see what makes sense to us. It's not that we can say for sure that this or that happened, or the Department of Defense was this or that. We don't have the clearances to see it. We don't know if the scientists are really telling the truth, or the congressmen are really telling the truth. But we still have to gather the information that we can and try to research what we can understand, and we can see that there are questions all over the place. Ideas. They're not proof. We don't have the proof. And by the way, even if we did have the proof, do we have the experience to know what a COVID receptor would be? Or do we have the experience to know, oh, sure, they talk about spike proteins all the time, attaching themselves to this or to that. How many people even know what a spike protein is? Well, lots of people do, and a whole lot more don't. So how do we independently verify anything? We have to rely on what people who are familiar with the situation would talk about. Independent verification, I don't know if we can do it, but we can surely see when there are questions in the documents that we are told. It's about as good as we could do. We can't do the scientific research, and we can't speak to the people who have. And even if we could speak to them, do we really know the questions that could be asked? Pretty much, no, we don't, because we don't have those scientific names, and we don't have the answers that somebody can wiggle out of. Positions are spoken, and positions are wiggled out of. But for the big thing that we can do is we can look back and see the history of things and see what institutions wanted to develop what, and what institutions were trustworthy or untrustworthy because of the information they provided. It's kind of the best we can do, but we can do something, and we certainly should be careful and concerned that we are being told the truth. A lot of people who, they just plain lie. Remember George Washington? Do not tell a lie. He could not tell a lie. Yes, that's one of those myths. But George Washington was an awesome, awesome leader. And the ordinary people just loved him when he was alive. Why? Because he had compassion and concern. One of the things I remember was that he would not allow himself to be placed as a king of the United States. Now, at the time, there were plenty of people who were familiar with kings and queens, and they thought George Washington would make a perfect king. He probably would have, but he wouldn't accept that position. He voluntarily stepped down from the presidency of the United States so that the republic could continue. Now, the United States of America is a republic with a democratically elected leadership. And so George Washington believed in that principle so strongly that he stepped down from the position of being the most powerful man in America at that time. Well, we can acknowledge that George Washington did that and be thankful for his integrity. You know, there's about 150 years where after George Washington, every schoolroom had a portrait of George Washington in their schoolhouse because they recognized the greatness of a man who could live by his principles and leave power and authority as he did. Now, there's other founding fathers who also lived a very moral life and stepped down from their positions of power and authority. And we are to be thankful that they had the principles in mind to do that. They were principled men. Most of them believed in God. Most of them would be very concerned for the republic principles. Not republican, not democratic, but republic principles with a democratic form of election. Well, that's just what goes on in the past, and we can see it today and try to preserve the best traditions that we have. I know that we have real areas of concern to be concerned with, and some of them are big and some are little. Little as in keeping the things going within the departments of the government that we have. Some of them are big as in preserving our republic. Some of them are big as in recognizing the value of a Western Christian civilization. See, that's where it all started. There was a difference between the Western and the Eastern civilizations. And the Western had a Christian tradition, and the Eastern had a different tradition, which is going on right now with the conflict in the world. Two different orientations are struggling for power. The struggle in the world has always been and will always continue. Yes, it is a partly a matter of the struggle between, well, God and Lucifer, God and Satan. Satan is in this world. God is above this world. But God allows freedom and freedom of thought. And so people think in different ways. And they seek to have freedom or power. It's quite different, but that's what I see. So we want to always seek freedom for ourselves and for others. And a part of that is to have responsibility and the laws that support that. Well, we want to protect our heritage and our freedom, understand it. Yeah, protect it. Enjoy it. We have so many good benefits. And if you've traveled in the world, you see the places around the world that do not have the same kind of freedom or prosperity that the United States has. Now, that means freedom to do either the will of God or to do the opposite of the will of God. And that's a part of the struggle we're having today in in our country, in our lifetime, all of it. And we get to seek to do what is right. And we thank our history, our foundation, like the founding fathers, including George Washington. Yes, it's wonderful. And there are the forces that are at work for good and for evil. And that just reminds me of, well, it's called the George Washington Vision. It's not perfectly well documented, but it is something that has been supported by the people who knew George Washington, even though the documents are not very good. But the visions of George Washington was that there were three trials that the United States would go through. One was the American Revolution. The other one is the Civil War. And the third one was yet to come in the future. And that is something where dark forces would come across the oceans and invade America. And when that happened, there would be life and death struggles all across America. That means, of course, that many in America would die and many invaders would die. Eventually, the invaders left America and went back to their, well, just back across the oceans. We presume it is to where they came from. But that's a part of the visions of George Washington's that were spoke to him by, an angelic form who wore the banner of Republic with liberty. And anyway, this is the kind of a thing where, is it a perfect understanding? No, it's not. But when you take it together with what other people have had the experience of, it leads you to believe that this could very well be occurring right now. And because of the struggles we are having with in the world, we see them right in front of us. We see Russia and China and other nations that are really and truly opposing what the United States stands for. We are concerned with the 300,000 Chinese exchange students, not exchange, but just allowed students in the United States. We have 300,000, pretty much, more or less, students that are Chinese nationals in the United States attending our schools. And there are any number of them that have had to. I mean, this is their doctrine, that all the students have to go through an indoctrination, of course, of how to be a saboteur. And so we are questioning if that could happen in the United States. Could the students be saboteurs? It's possible. And it's something that's a question of how do we get our information. You know, I was very skeptical about hearing all these things until I heard it was a Senate subcommittee that interviewed the U.S. Navy Admiral for Central and South America. And so he testified to the Senate subcommittee that there were Russian and China soldiers on our southern border. So it's kind of a question of how it actually is, because a lot of things we can't know for ourselves. I haven't been to the southern border to see that. But those are the reports, and that was the testimony to the Senate subcommittee. A lot of the things we have a very hard time to document or to experience by our own observation. Still, we can see how these things can easily be with the reports that we hear about every nationality illegally coming across our southern border, from Russian to Ukrainian to Chinese to African to every nation in Asia, all over the world, they cross our southern border illegally. And we hear the reports as in an after report, and it's hard to verify that information, except that we do have our Border Patrol people saying that this is what appears to them to be happening. We get to fill in the details, which we don't have full understanding of, but we do get to see that it looks like our country is having an invasion going on across our southern border. And what it means is a big question. Could there be people that are preparing for war? Yes, yes, yes. It looks like it. Do we know it? Is there proof? No, there isn't. But we can see that it might be. We can also see that there might be natural disasters coming about in the United States. I know the earthquakes are one thing that have concerned me for a long time. I see the earthquake faults and how the experts say they're ready to go. The San Andreas is ready to go on the southern zone. Cascadia is building up pressure and pressure and pressure. And so these things are ready to happen. We have the earthquakes that are happening in small amounts, even around Yellowstone. We have fault lines that are just being discovered that they didn't know were going off before, and now all of a sudden they are. We have the New Madrid building up pressure, according to the earthquake professionals, and things going on that show that things are going to happen. We don't know if the pipelines and the roads and the electrical lines, the water lines, sewer lines, we don't know if any of them are going to be intact after a major earthquake. And those are things that get our attention for what could go on in our country. Yes, we have threats of every kind. As I just said, military, certainly. We have threats of natural disasters. All these things could cause shortages to everything that we want and need. I look back to the World War II rationing that went on for things in short supply, like meat and sugar and gasoline and pretty much everything. It was rationed, and every U.S. citizen got a ration card, because that's what would happen if our trade was disrupted with China. If China really did become an enemy of the United States, or the United States became an enemy of China, it would be very serious to have everything all of a sudden stop. All our supplies from China would stop. And you know that our shoes, our coats, our clothes, our sleeping bags, pots and pans, and so many other things, car parts, all that is made in China and comes from China. So their doctrine is, if there is an enemy, all trade with that enemy would stop. We are in a position where we could have some very serious interruptions of all the things that we enjoy from the trade position we have in the world. We get a lot of things from a lot of places. And what would happen if it stopped? Well, that's the thing that we want to have a little bit of preparation for, just in case our food stops, just in case we can't get parts for our tractors, our cars, our food producing equipment. And you know, there have been 100 things around the country where the food processing plants have been destroyed. There is something going on. They've not only in the United States, that's happened in Russia and other parts of the world. We don't know what is really going on, but we know that there is a war that we are a part of. It's a spiritual war that takes place within our material world. It takes place against things and against people. The idea is to have people suffer. That's what the principle of the dark side is. So how do we get people to suffer? It's not hard. You just deprive them of their goods, and pretty soon they can't live because of the difficulties. Or you transition them into a new system. Look what's going on with cryptocurrency and or the banking situations. We are having the banks showing signs of failure. Will they? They may or may not fail. We have a good reason to believe that our economic system is going to recover. But also, we know that things have happened in the past. Look at what happened in 1929. Nobody expected that to happen. Do we expect our banking system to collapse? No, but it could. Do we expect our money to lose every bit of value that it can? No, but it has happened in the past to other countries where a dollar becomes worth 5 cents. Okay, you want to go to the store? It takes $200 to buy a candy bar. Well, I mean, it's just that those things have happened in history, and we shouldn't be surprised if they happen again. And we get to try to figure out how do we get through such difficult times with a collapse of our system. You see, there are no supplies in our country. Our neighbors don't have food in case we need it. The churches don't have food in case we need it. Our government does not have food in case we need it. The Red Cross does not have food if we need it. No part of the government has food. Well, yes, there are food for the troops, but that already is designated. There are food for the congressmen and senators that would go to their underground facilities. Yes, but it's not enough for the people. We don't have food in the system if we need food. But right now, food is available. In the world, there are some places where food is not available. And there is some places in the world where food costs 3 times more than it does in this country. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. You want something that's manufactured like a can of soda? If it's a dollar here, it'll be $5 in another part of the world. And it's not that we can say it's going to happen, but we should not be surprised because the forces at work want to make shortages and people to have hard times. This is a part of the spiritual battle we are in. So if you're thinking of buying some food, do it while you can, because one day the food and the supplies and the building materials may not be available. I think it's wise to have a little bit of plywood on hand. Maybe you want some roof repair material. It's just things that we can have on hand. Screws and nails and a hammer, screwdriver, wrenches, socket sets. All these things we just kind of forget about needing because we can just go to the store and get them. But one day, they might not be available, and that is something we want to have a supply of in case you need it. I think of clothes, warm clothes, as important to have. I think of shoes or boots, important to have. Or if you're a working person, you might want gloves and tools that you would normally use. If you have pets, you might want the dog food, cat food, whatever food it is. There are these things which you get to figure out what your needs are, and then you do something to obtain the things that you need. Now, the spiritual element is one thing we forget about sometimes. We need to have a relation with God through Jesus Christ. And that's something you do as you go along. You have a prayer life. You have a time that you talk to God and you pray for a response to what it is that you are praying about. You pray for other people. You pray for yourself and your family members. It just continues. It's not that there's one answer. The answers continue. And you do your part to fit into whatever it is that you are praying for. I think of J. Vernon McGee. He once gave this example. We pray to God with expectation. For instance, you pray to God for rain if you're a farmer, and then you say amen with a hoe in your hand. You're ready to work the fields with whatever tools you have. That's what an expectation of having your prayer fulfilled is. If you're praying for rain, you are prepared for what happens when it does rain. If you're praying for whatever it is, the prayer requests are endless. Oh, and by the way, I am very glad to pray for any prayer requests that you send me, any godly ones. So if you have a prayer request, please send it to me and I will put that on my prayer list. I care about the people. I care about people who listen to this broadcast. But just in general, we have a lot of people who need prayer in the churches, who have no relation to churches, in our government, in our neighborhood. So many people who just need prayer and they need to know Jesus. And that's a part of what we pray for, the saved and the unsaved. The prayer needs go on and on. So always, you can write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So you think about the kind of things that you can do to prepare for what we don't exactly know is coming, but it surely could. And we know that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the end of days will have famine and wars. So you get some supplies for if there is a famine, if there is a war, if there is pestilence, which is an epidemic. Those are the things that you just kind of do. These things can happen to anybody. We can need bandages. We can need medicine of all sorts. Whether it's anti-fever or anti-diarrheal, there's just every sort of medicine that we can need, and we can get it now. Therefore, get the things that you can get now, whether it's hardware or tape to tape up your broken something or whatever tools they are. You can get them now. So don't go into debt, though. That's not good. It's never good to buy things on credit. But save something, put it aside, get some food, get some water containers or a water filter, and there's things that you will need just to live. So give that some thought and then do what you can and continue to think about the things that you need or the things that the people around you need. That's a way of showing your love to the people around you. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. And remember, you can go to any broadcast and listen to it again by going to www.christtoday.org. And the heading would be under John Stephenson. So thank you for today. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.